Faith when life turns bitter. Exodus chapter 15, verse 23 and following. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, watch this, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you." Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord who heals you. Then they came to Elim, or as we say in Tennessee, Elim, where they were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. And they camped there by the waters. Moments of triumph are often followed by days of disappointment. The Jews had made a successful crossing of the Red Sea and had saw their enemies taken out. They had a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. I tell people that's central air and heat. They were being cared for. They had a miracle every morning of manna on the ground. But often, after great moments of triumph or after times of blessing, we begin to take for granted what God Almighty has tried to accomplish and what He's shown us already. And the faith that we had yesterday vanishes in a moment of a bitter experience. Some of you, kind of like years ago, the Charlie Brown cartoon I saw. Lucy told him, said, "Charlie, when you were born, there was a sign on your back that said, 'Not right for the part.'" You ever feel that way? Or do you encounter moments when you feel like things have gone wrong? Here they were, and all of a sudden, the first thing they run into is the fact that the spring they thought they were going to drink from is bitter waters. And I think it's a parable of life today, because of all the things I've ever gone through in my life as a person, as a family man, and as a pastor, to see anger, bitterness, and disappointment and heartache turn people into sour pusses is one of the worst things I've ever seen. It's the truth. And so here they are after miracles. One thing goes wrong, and bitterness begins to sweep into their lives. After the triumph over Egypt, they were without fresh water, and now they're in the middle of a crisis of leadership. It's kind of like some of these sports teams. If you don't win the championship every year, even though the players were lousy, they want to fire the coach. A lot of churches, instead of running off their pastor, should have run off half their congregation because they weren't playing the game. Let's talk about disappointment, bitterness. First, the marks of disappointment. Let me give you some of them quickly. We often have bitterness and disappointment come when success turns to failure. I mean, after the Red Sea experience, they were in the wilderness of Shur. For 3 days, they journeyed without fresh water, and their great success had now turned to failure. When you look at the Bible, these disappointments are found. Elijah, you remember? After fire fell from heaven, Jezebel threatened him one time, and he ran like a banshee into the wilderness, sat down under a juniper tree and said, "God, kill me." After seeing the miracle come, think about St. Paul. When you read the book of 2 Corinthians and you come to Paul and say, "What's the greatest experience of your life?" Read it over there. He says, "Well, I was let down the basket in a wall." Over the wall. After he was saved, he thought he'd convert every Jew, but his calling, this Jew's calling, was to the Gentiles, the non-Jews. And the Bible says he made havoc of the church. with good intentions. Made havoc of the church. And so then everybody wanted to kill him. The Romans wanted to kill him. The Jews wanted to kill him. The church wished he'd go away, and he was let down the basket in the wall. You know what happened to his ministry? Nobody heard of him for 11 years. And that's when Barnabas sent for him. And the rest is history. Half our New Testament, the powerful ministry of St. Paul, and later his own martyrdom. But as I preached on that passage years ago, he had to become a basket case before God could use him. Second, when good turns bitter, often we have Mara experiences. You remember the story of Naomi, Ruth's mother, her mother-in-law. Her husband died, her boy's dead, and here's Ruth tagging along and she can't take care of herself. She gets home and she tells all of them, "Call me Mara, for my life has turned bitter." The death in a family, a divorce, a lost opportunity, a lost job, the failure of a friendship, being cheated or losing, having friends walk away, not making the team, knowing that somehow because of your race or some other reason you didn't get the promotion or your gender, because somehow life has treated you unfair. Third, when what you do goes unappreciated. There's some mamas that can holler amen to that. Immediately when this happens, the people blame Moses. He went from a hero to a zero just like that. They turn on him and want to say, "Look, you, this is all your fault." Now, they didn't give him any credit when the Red Sea parted. nothing going on good for him, but the minute one thing goes wrong, "You did this. This is your fault. Why'd you bring us out here? I mean, we'd have been better off back in Egypt." I want to tell you, hear me well, I don't care what's going on in your life. No man having put his hand to the plow and looketh back is fit for the kingdom of God. Listen to the last verse of Hebrews 10. Don't be like those who turn away from the faith. Don't do it. Don't move on it with the Holy Spirit and then think somehow you can put on the brakes and survive. No, the crash will kill you. My friend, Pastor Steve McEwen, wrote this and posted it. It says, "Just one simple moment of misunderstanding can make us forget the hundreds of awesome moments already spent together. Never loan your heart to anger and bitterness. It pays you back with misery and destruction." Four, sometimes we get bitter when we don't know what to do, when life lacks direction. This crowd was stopped in a wilderness and did not know where they were going. And sometimes when you don't know exactly where you're going, you go back to what didn't work before. When goals are unclear, disappointments are inevitable. Their focus was on failure while Moses was on the promise of God and on the future. Basically, this is what it means. Really, if you're not saved, you don't have any direction for when this life is over in your life. And I hope this morning, whether you're watching, and by the way, they tell us, Elmer Towns told me not long ago, I said, "You know, the crowds are terrible in the summer at church." He said, "But you may have more people watching than you ever had before online." I love Elmer. Isn't that a word of encouragement? Here I was about to get angry and bitter, and he tells me, "Hey, don't be discouraged. A lot of you members who aren't here are not able to watch, and they're with you. So don't get discouraged." We need direction in life. You're in the wilderness of the world, and you need to know how to get out. All it offers goes bitter sooner or later, and unless you find sustenance and direction, you'll die. That's point one, with four subpoints. Number two, if you're taking notes, what is the ministry of disappointment? Let me tell you what God does when disappointment comes and failure, bitterness. One, God allows disappointment to prove his people. Now, I want to read you some verses again from our passage. Look at the end of verse 25. Listen to where it says, "There he proved them." The word "prove" in Hebrew means to put to the test. You see the pillar of cloud by day and fire by night that led them through the Red Sea? led them to the wilderness. Are you listening? The same leader led them to the bitter waters. Devil didn't do it. Quit blaming him for everything you're doing. The same God who'd parted the sea had him right there. Because he had it in his heart to prove them and also to kick a message thousands of years forward to us. I want you to hear me well. Miracles never produce faith. They never do. But faith produces miracles. And God wanted them to begin to exercise their faith. Two, God allows bitterness and disappointment because we don't pray enough. If everything's going well, we don't pray. But when things go bad, we begin to pray. Yesterday morning, Paulette was gone. I got outside and was working around the yard as much as I can do. You know, people say, are you retired? No, when you retire, you go to work for your wife and your son. And I've got some stuff coming up, and I'd like for it to go on one way, and still would, and it may go the other way and turns my shoulder and all this stuff. I'm not shouting about 12 weeks of therapy, 2 days a week, plus exercise and cold packs and all that kind of thing. Didn't want to do that. So I just cried out to the Lord. And God was so merciful, he said, shut up. You're 72. You're overweight. And I've let you live. I'm going to take care of you. Just shut up. Every now and then, God does that, doesn't he? Kind of here he does that. Moses cried out to the Lord. The Lord said, shut up. Last week, remember when Moses cried out to the Lord? He said, shut up and tell them to go forward. Remember when the Jews were defeated at Ai? And Joshua was, oh, Lord, we wanted Jericho, and now we've lost it. Oh, the Lord said, shut up, get up, stand up. There's sin in the camp. I appreciate all your prayers, but sometimes you need to just be quiet because you've already prayed that 100 times, and your prayer now is a lack of faith. I mean, if you've asked him, don't you think he heard you through the blood of Jesus? Have you not read the 12th chapter and 11th chapter? Read through the Gospel of Luke on faith. Have you not read saying, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? If you ask him for bread, will he give you a rock? If you ask him for an egg, will he give you a snake? No. And if you've posted it once on Facebook, we don't need to hear it again. Did any of y'all ever remember Hee Haw? Pain, distress, and agony on me. Eternal darkness, excessive misery. Tell us something good. Tell us what good things the Lord has done for you. Give him some praise. Three. Disappointments come to present his power. Look at verse 25. Boy, I'm telling you, the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw that tree in the water, and it became sweet. If you don't understand the typology of this, I can't help you. Because when you're going through a bitter experience, throw the cross into the middle of it. Throw the cross. Take that bloody cross. You think you're going through something.
Think if you live perfect all your life and they're beating you and spitting on you and crowning you with thorns and whipping you and nailing you to a cross and putting a spear in your side for something somebody else did. You think you got it bad? Throw the tree. Throw the tree into your experience. I'm so tired of this namby-pamby entitled generations that we're living in today that's got a right. You don't have a right to nothing except the breath you're breathing. Get up and do something yourself. Life ain't fair. Sorry, go on Oprah. Call Dr. Phil. Ain't been fair since Adam. If you want to see fairness and you think you ought to be treated fair, go to the cross. You say, what if I'm suffering? The fellowship of his suffering, St. Paul said. Embrace Jesus in the middle of whatever's going on in your life. When it's not going your way, it didn't go his way, but it went for the Father's way. He said, if you heal the voice of the Lord, now finally to promote his principles. Here is the secret of healing. I want you to hear me well. Anger and bitterness produce heart attacks, stress, cancer. It's proven. It is proven by, you go read the book, None of These Diseases, the revised version of it. He says, I want to heal you, but we got to clear up the bitter waters. Then I'm going to show you I'm Jehovah Rapha. Two things will heal you. The cross, by his stripes, we were healed. Not only that, not only the cross will heal you, but also if you decide I'm not mad anymore, that'll help heal you. So here, what are we saying? In verse 27, they left the wilderness after that water got sweet, and they came to the oasis of Elim. Elim, by the way, means my God. I can see them coming over out of the desert, and there's these 70 palm trees and springs running, 12 wells, one for every tribe, a palm tree for every elder. There it was. And they said, my God, Elim, Elim, look at this. Sometimes you're angry and bitter and you go back, but if you just go another mile. So keep moving. Keep reaching. Keep preaching, keep loving, keep caring, keep your promises. Don't stop. Go on. Well, my harvest hadn't given. Give it another month, 3 months. Don't walk out. You see, there's a warning here, and I'm going to wrap this up. Turn to Hebrews 12. It says in verse 12, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Here's somebody bitter and depressed. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it be healed. There it is. Let it be healed. Follow peace with all men. This sounds like Isaiah 32, doesn't it? Find peace with all men without and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. I wish I had time to preach on holiness. But this old man still believes fornication's wrong, that homosexuality is a sin in the Bible. I'm sorry about the culture. I still believe killing babies in the womb is murder. I am not going. There's something about living right that we need to get restored into the church. Well, we're a grace church. I'm glad. But St. Paul says, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Grace gets you out of your sin. It doesn't pat you on the back in the middle of it. That's a fact. Now listen to this. Verse 15, Hebrews 12. Looking diligently, lest anyone fail of the grace of God. lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Wow. There it is. Same thing we saw in Isaiah. Here it is in the New Testament. Talk about how, you know, bitterness will make you, you know, you'll go off and do something wrong just because you're mad at somebody. You ever done that? Your kids will. Sometimes you think you're going to straighten them out and you make them madder and they go do something worse. A lot of fornication happens when after a couple has had an argument and let the sun go down on your wrath. You want to help your marriage? Don't let an argument continue after sundown so that when you get up the next morning, it's over with. Are you hearing me? Here's what he says. I'm going to list these for you. Make straight paths for your feet. Move ahead to your healing. Praise God anyway and move ahead to your healing. He says your knees are weak and you're feeble looking, but just go, just move on ahead. Your healing's down there. Go ahead. Resist the desire to get even. Reject revenge because grace never fails. Be careful not to divide and defile. See, the minute you get bitter and angry or disappointed, you got to tell somebody. See, you got six friends. Everybody's got six. You tell them six. They tell the six they know. And then what was a root of bitterness is turned into a tree of defilement. Angry and upset, mad, disappointed, upset. Can an old man tell you something? It ain't worth it. You go through all that stress and bitter, go ahead and forgive somebody, or they're going to hack your chest open one day because of stress and upsetness and take out your clogged up arteries. You say, well, that was your cholesterol. My cholesterol's lower than my wife's. My cardiologist said, won't even take my blood pressure until I lay down and unstress for an hour when I was pastoring this church. She begged me for 5 years before I retired, you need to quit what you're doing because you're straining and stressing yourself to death. Well, I'm over that now. And I didn't need any marijuana oil to do it, but if you've got some and want to give it to me, you know, who knows? Don't surrender to the flesh, lest any fornicator. Don't just quit and throw in the... That's what happens so often. And embrace your inheritance. Don't sell out your inheritance to the flesh. I want to give you some encouragement now. I want to give you five or six examples real quick. Mark Victor Hansen and Jack Canfield wrote books. How many of you read Chicken Soup for the Soul or one of the books? Hold your hand up. It is a $100 million+ phenomenon. Do you know that their manuscript was rejected by 140 publishers? That their agent gave it back to them, one of the best agents, and said, nobody's going to buy this. But they kept on. The Wright brothers had 1,111 failed experiments before the plane flew. The late Stephen R. Covey, who wrote the great book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, established a $100 million-plus corporation around that great book, went 11 straight years in the hole before his company turned a profit. But he didn't quit. Sam Walton lost his first store, which was a Ben Franklin variety store. In fact, people got so mad at him after he worked 5 years, he was run out of his hometown. But he decided to start something called Walmart. Anybody ever heard of that? Walt Disney. He invented a character called Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. And in 1928 had naively signed away the ownership rights. had every reason to hate and be angry and bitter toward those who had bothered him, but he decided if he could find Oswald the Rabbit, he could find a character called Mickey Mouse. And some of y'all spent a small fortune down there this summer. I hope you had a good time. I made it about three times, and that was enough for me. My idea of a vacation is a nice cruise ship where you say, bring it over here. Colonel Harlan Sanders, who my dear friend and your one of the preachers here, Bob Rogers, his daddy led to Christ. Colonel Sanders had 1,009 rejections until he got a yes from one restaurant owner to put his fried chicken in. 1,009 rejections, driving across the road, this stuff in the trunk of his car. He was 74 years old when he came to own 600 franchises called Kentucky Fried Chicken. And all of you have heard of Rocky, Sylvester Stallone. He sent his Rocky ideas to 600 casting agents and was unable to sell his first 8 versions of the screenplay. And Rocky is now a phenomenon. Now what if they'd have got mad? Well, I'm just mad about this. I'm gonna tell you a true story. Is that Angie down there? My first book on spiritual warfare was called Vanquish the Enemy. It is the all-time bestseller for Pathway Press, the Church of God Press, something they don't want you to know because I'm not Church of God. But they're great people, and I'm about to do another book with them. Your pastor, his book is coming out with them in just a few months. When I wrote that manuscript, we sent it to another publisher. They sent it back. I threw it in the garbage. She got it out of the garbage and sent it to Pathway. That's a fact. And every book I've written since then happened because one person said, you can't quit. Go on. 30 books later, we're still writing. You can't quit. You can't let anger and disappointment and failure and bitter water experiences bring it to the cross. Lay it at the feet of Jesus. Tell him what you need. Get his forgiveness. Forgive those that hurt you and move on with your life. And you'll find there's a blessing and an inheritance waiting just, there's 70 palm trees. Woo! Excuse me. And 12 wells of water just a few miles away from this bitter, disappointing experience in your life. If you're about to get a divorce, go back to the person. Give it one more shot. Well, you don't know what they did. Well, I know what you did probably. God knows what you did, know what they did. And he knows what we've all done. But he still throws his arms open and says, come. That's to everyone. And if you're still struggling with a lifestyle choice, it doesn't matter, you can come. You say, well, will I be free of it? You can be, but you may still be tempted. You may still struggle, but the same God will keep on forgiving you and loving you until he gets you to glory. He'll do it. But the big thing is you got to know it was wrong. That's all. And he'll do it. So this morning, right now, we're going to wrap this up, and I'm going to ask you to stand with heads bowed and eyes closed all across this building. And I'm going to ask this question right now. There are some of you visiting with us this summer. I have been amazed at how many faces the last 3 weeks have kind of come and gone through this house, and people are looking and visiting. Maybe you had a bitter experience at a church. Bouncing around won't help. Forgive that where they hurt you and find you a church home. And if this is it, why don't you decide to do something today and walk up here and tell one of the pastors, let's get the process started. My family, we'd like to connect here. Me as a single or as an older young person, we'd like to be a part of this church. We want to be. We're not going to stop. But Brother Ron, you don't know. I don't even know if I'm saved for sure. I got started and this happened in my life. Well, if you're not sure, just get saved again. You say, well, Baptists don't believe that. I don't care. If you're not sure, come up here and pray with somebody. Be sure, and that's what matters, not religion. You need a family. Ronnie Jr. has been witnessing to a lot of people and friends. He's been having, and a lot of them just need a family. There's something wrong. This is it, Abba's house. This is it. And I can tell you this, all the methods and gimmicks and games in the world won't grow a church, but relationships will. If you love somebody, even if they don't agree with everything going on in here, they'll come for family. And we want to open the doors of our church. I'd love for some of you to join today and tell Pastor, while Brother Ron was preaching, I decided to become a member. And then later he'll say, Brother Ron's going to get to preach again. And some of you just lost, bless your heart. You don't have any direction in your life. Everything's bitter. You may have joined some church, even been baptized, but you really just need to give your life over to Jesus. You've given it over to everything else. This morning you give it over to Jesus. You say, what do I need to do, Pastor? What will happen? I'll tell you exactly what you need to do. Leave your seat and come up here to one of these pastors. They'll take it from there. Just admit the truth. The truth sets you free. I'm not sure I'm saved. They'll lead you in a prayer. And you down here, don't try to talk them into being saved. Lead them to Jesus. We'll straighten the theology out later. Let them cry out to Jesus. Brother Ron, we need a church home where we can make friends. Well, it's hard to do that in a building this size, but if you go to a life group, guess what? It can happen for you. We've had college kids meeting this week. Young people are gathering. We've had senior adults meetings, fixing launch hour meetings this week. I'm telling you, folks, there's something here for you. But you need us, and we need you. And we can't move forward without you, and you're not going anywhere without us. We open the doors of our church. Maybe you're a member here of Abba's House. But man, you going through some job stuff or family stuff or personal stuff or health stuff, and you just feel like quitting sometimes. That's exactly when God shows up. That's when he shows up. And see, your faith will precede your miracle, not your miracle, your faith. Some of you are waiting for a miracle to believe something. You need to believe something, then watch what God does. And trust him when the waters are bitter. You need to come back to the cross today. You need to come back to the cross. And when you do, you'll forgive everybody. And then you move forward. Well, I feel God. I want to open these altars right now. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for these folks. Lord, I throw the Holy Spirit around them. Let them come. Yes to Jesus. Yes to the church. Yes to a new beginning. Yes to a new start. Yes to a new family. Let them come right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Down one of these aisles. Come right now. Obey God. Say yes. Move out. Do something. Go forward right now in Jesus' name.